It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. We got Thor back in the house, baby, and we're going to talk about one of these prospects that is right in his backyard, right in his wheelhouse, a wide receiver that is fantastic and super skilled going into the NFL draft, Rashad Bateman. Adam, how are you doing before I get Thor up in here?
This might be, I was pretty pumped when we were breaking down Justin Fields. This might be the most pumped I've been, not only because I love Rashad Bateman, but Thor loves Rashad Bateman, and I know he's fired up about it. So I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling really good about this one.
Dude, we talked about this before we turned the mics on. In making out the guest list for all these prospects, it was just going down the list, and I was like, oh, Minnesota guy. Oh, there's Rashad Bateman. Oh, okay, we're going to bring Thor on to talk about him. Thor, without further ado, what's going on, man? You excited to talk about this guy?
Super pumped to talk about Bateman. Yeah, I had a ton of fun watching this kid the past couple of years. He's sort of a ballyhooed prospect coming out of Georgia. One of the first indications that we had the PJ Flex recruiting acumen was going to translate to Minnesota. And Bateman, speaking of translation, his game translated immediately, you know, as a freshman, and then going forward and ended up being, you know, just an awesome secondary option initially to Tyler Johnson. And then, then became the number one guy. But I mean, that was a really fun tandem to watch, and being able to watch Bateman's career was just super duper fun. We'll get into his game here in a second, but really fun player to watch.
He's been a really fantastic prospect. You talked about it, man. I mean, the guy's entering the NFL 6'2", around 210 pounds, coming out of Minnesota. And I mean, really, whatever you're looking at, the guy checks so many different boxes. 18.8 breakout age, college dominator of 43.7%. You're talking about the production in his freshman season eclipsing 700 receiving yards. And his last full season in 2019, over 1,200 receiving yards and a 28% target share. I mean, the guy's been great ever since, like, all the way back to high school. Four-star prospect out of 24/7 Sports. He led the country in yards per route run as an outside wide receiver in 2019. Thor, what are your thoughts, just production-wise, and into Bateman's strengths? What do you think about him, man?
Yeah, interesting process. We talked about Devonta Smith in the last episode, who was a really, really unique prospect. Bateman's a unique prospect, too. Not quite as unique, but a very interesting prospect nonetheless. Bateman has a basketball background, and you can see it quite a bit in the way he plays. He sort of plays like a little power forward, maybe small forward, but, you know, he's got that physical element to him. He sort of blends physicality with really graceful feet, I guess, is what I think about when I think about him. He has fabulous feet, and then just super duper physical, and he has really, really good hands. And then body control as well. So, like, in terms of route running and in terms of coming off the line of scrimmage, it's aces. You know, it's like crossing people over or whatever, coming off the line of scrimmage. You know, people will say, nitpick him and say he's not quite as athletic. But, you know, it's basically impossible to stop him at the line of scrimmage. And so he's always got a head of steam going downfield. And he's super fortified. He's more fortified than the defensive back. He's cornerback, certainly, than he's going up against. So it's very difficult to jar him with momentum. So some of these things, you know, as far as like the athleticism stuff, is overblown for that reason. It's also overblown it's also just an exaggeration, because, you know, people said the same thing about Tyler Johnson, and you hear some, you know, similar things, but like just totally different thing. Like Tyler Johnson was such a mediocre athlete that he pulled out of the East-West Shrine game to prepare for the combine. And then he pulled out of the combine testing that week because he was so afraid of testing in front of people. And then he didn't test, you know, obviously at the pro day either because of the, you know, COVID stuff. But like Bateman's like a good athlete. Like, you know, he's not a great athlete. Yeah. That's the differentiation thing. Like Johnson's a mediocre athlete. Bateman's a good athlete. So let's, you know, be very clear about that. But yeah, you know, like I said, when I think about him, I think about very, very physical, Awesome feat that manifests in, you know, a couple of different ways, which are both, you know, really good route running, really good getting off of the line, really good at, you know, during his routes, making cuts. You know, he's a guy who, like, you know, on like hooks, you can throttle down like real fast, right? Like go downfield real fast and then just, you know, stop on a dime, come back. So, you know, those are some of the things that he has. We talk about like things that players have to sort of mitigate, you know, maybe a lack of elite athleticism. And those are some of the things, that he has. So there's a lot to like about his game.
Yeah. I mean, the first, like when I was watching film on him and just looking at him as a prospect, like the first word that came to mind was just solid. Like the guy is just a solid player all around. I don't see, like, is he going to check boxes and be a burner? No. Is he going to be the most physical guy in the draft? No. But, like, I look at his game and how he translates to the NFL level, and I feel like there are a lot of things. Like, he's going to check so many freaking boxes, and his ability as a tactician, you're talking about route running, you're talking about separation. I feel like when I watched, and some of this is 2019, and some of this goes into, like, his 2020 tape was tough to watch, and it is not because of him, man. Tanner Morgan is not an NFL level quarterback. Like I'm sorry. I don't want to hate on him too much. I know that's in your backyard, but there were multiple times, like I was watching games for him, especially versus like Iowa, where Morgan was a second late, sailed a throw, poor ball placement. And you're looking at catches that Rashad Bateman should have and would have made if the throws would have been out on time. And some of that is like, the thing that it kept coming up with Rashad Bateman is I felt like I was watching some of like Jalen Reagor's film from last year, where it was a player that is a really, really damn good prospect. But if you would have airdropped him into another system or improved quarterback play, his numbers would have been even better. And there would have been more hype and more justified hype around him. Like, I think he's that good of a player. And we'll talk about landing spots and stuff, dude. Like, I think the NFL is probably going to like him a lot more than just your usual, like, off-the-street person, like, digging into the draft. I'm not going to be surprised if he's a guy that does get steam. He goes in the first round. He goes inside the top 20 picks. Like, I think he is that freaking talented and is a guy that we saw play multiple roles. Like, you're talking about with Tyler Johnson, Thor. He played on the outside in his first two collegiate seasons, 87%, 92%. And they threw him into the slot in this last season at 60%. They basically were saying, okay, we're going to manufacture touches for you and put you in that Tyver Johnson role. It's like, they didn't have to do that. Rashad Bateman could win from the outside. The first 2 years where he was balling out, that's what you saw. Like, he didn't need that to happen. You could have taken a lesser wide receiver and thrown his butt into the slot. Rashad Bateman didn't need you to do that. His abilities as a true X receiver on the outside and the ability to play inside when he's asked to. I love him, man. I love his skill set.
Okay. Well, we got to take a break in the podcast now. Cause we're about to take a break from the Rashad Bateman podcast and go into the PJ Fleck Thor bitches about PJ Fleck podcast. This is one of
such an ugly offense.
Well, yeah, there's an intractability to the offensive scheme that you see there. And, you know, he's considered an extremely receiver friendly coach, obviously. And he's a former receiver. That scheme, they love to throw to the slot receivers. And I'm sure if PJ Fleck was here, he would say not only, you know, is that maybe it is, or maybe it is not a preference of mine, but you know, the quarterback, as you're mentioning, perhaps he has physical limitations that, you know, it's better to have our better receiver closer to him, you know, when the ball is thrown, you know, and stuff like that. Fair enough. But you know, I mean, to your point, like, it was clear last year. Not only was the Minnesota offense, and, you know, and team in general, that the defense was an effing nightmare. Like, was just all, you know, they'd lost Winfield and they'd lost Carter Coughlin and, you know, and some of these different guys were just terrible. But like the offense, you know, they didn't lose as many draft guys. So there wasn't as much talk about this, but they lost numerous offensive linemen to opt-outs, like Daniel Falele, who's going to be like just fawned over in next year's draft because he's this 6'9", 400-pound mutant from New Zealand, like who you know could have been in this class, but he decided not to be. He was an opt out. Carlos Dunlap, was at IMG with him, he didn't play either. So they had like you know, and there was multiple offense, like I said, multiple offensive linemen out, etc. And then Bateman, you know, I don't even know how much he was preparing for the season after you know he had opted out and then he came back. And then, you know, they, as you mentioned, they decided to switch his role where Johnson had been, you know, the slot guy who got fed targets, you know, the season before, which, you know, there was people, of course, that thought that Bateman should be getting more passes, maybe Johnson getting less passes in 2019. And then in 2020, they tried to put Bateman into that Johnson role. And, you know, with the messed up late start with the COVID season and it, you know, the offensive line was wonky and the defense sucked and everything sort of went haywire like that. I don't care about his 2020 tape. It's absolutely irrelevant.
I was going to say,
he's not a slot receiver.
I want to throw that out. I want to throw the 2020
That's just PJ Flagg. That's an embarrassment of coaching. I mean, sure, someone should be better in this, but like really it's that's not even the real, it's like PJ Flagg, like, get it out of your head that like, you know, every single time you're, you know, who you perceive to be your best receiver has to be in this specific spot and you have to play offense this specific way because you're not always going to have personnel that looks exactly this specific way. Like you're going to have to learn to change your schema to the situation because sir, you don't coach at Alabama. So you don't go into every game with a talent advantage. So altering your strategy would be a benefit because you're an underdog every now and again. This year again, you know, I mean Bateman, I mean certainly could play slot, but like he's an outside receiver. Like that's you know, that's where you want him. You know, I mean like his route running tree, like I eclipse up of this, but we just, you know, sort of talk about that. Like he can he does all sorts of different stuff. He does all sorts of different cool stuff. And he has both the footwork and the burst and, you know, the element of physicality with him where his contact is going to hurt the defensive back more than the other way around. And so like he just, you know, he always has the defensive back sort of on, you know, their rocker, you know, he always sort of has them on their heels. You know, I mentioned the thing about throttling down really quick. I mentioned the thing about the quick cuts. He just that sort of duality of, just really, really, really sweet feet, with, you know, a sort of physicality, you know, in his play style with, just fabulous hands. That's what I think about when I think about him.
Yeah. I mean, I just think tactician, man, and we'll get into comps and stuff with him. I mean, Adam, lead us off here with one. Let me know, like, what did you think about his strengths and stuff? What stood out to you? And then kick us off with weaknesses, like areas that you think that Bateman can improve on in his game.
Yeah, I think Rashad Bateman has the best release in this draft class, the line of scrimmage. Like
love that.
It's funny because Jamar Chase and him both can really exceed against press coverage. Jamar does it with physicality and just size and he's not a bad route runner by any means, but Rashad Bateman does it with ridiculous release. Thor mentioned his basketball background. Like it literally looks like he's crossing people over at times. And like rocks defenders asleep with his release and his footwork. So those are always my favorite receivers in the draft. These route technicians that just can lull you to sleep. Those are my favorite receivers usually. So that's why I love Rashad Bateman so much. Other strengths, like we talked about, he can win outside and inside. I think he's an outside receiver that can play in the slot, not the other way around. And you guys obviously agree because you talked about it. But yeah, like he played the slot 61% of the time last year. But that was up from his 2019 season. But that was obviously only to scheme him more touches and targets, like we talked about. He's not a guy, like I think he's going to be at the NFL level a guy that's going to play like kind of like an Adam Thielen role. Like he's going to play in the slot and outside.
Damn you! You're stealing my comp already.
He's not my comp. I'm just saying that's
mine. That's mine. I'm going to sit here and give a little foreshadow, and we're going to jump ahead into that because he's that's mine. That's exactly. Maybe I'm just being a homer and I'm staying in Minnesota, but. You're talking about that skill set to be able to win. Yeah. We're going to get to it later. But
yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Adam.
It's like the third time I've done this to you, by the way, this week. Yep. And the footwork. Thor mentioned that as well. Like I'm a sucker for these receivers that have ridiculous footwork and have ridiculous route running abilities and releases. So it's why I love him. But he's also really good after the catch. Like he's not a burner, but he's good enough. And his footwork helps him with that. It doesn't just help him at the line of scrimmage and off route running, but it helps him make plays after the catch. So I love him. I think he's going to be a really interesting player. A couple of clips I saw from him on like these slot fades where he has that quick, stutter from the slot, and then, looks like he's going to run a slant and all of a sudden runs a slot fade in the corner of the end zone. But he's also did a lot of his work off slants too. I just think he's one of those players that can kind of do everything well. But I also do think, whereas like Jamar Chase is like the best, off press coverage, physicality, like contested catch guy in this class. And we talked about Devontae, how he's the best in certain areas, and Jalen Waddle's the biggest home run threat. I think Rashad Bateman is the best in terms of release in this draft class.
And that'll kind of lead into like one of my weaknesses. I think Bateman is extremely, extremely good. I just get this underrated tag about him, man. Like, I feel like he's going to check so many freaking boxes that the NFL is going to love him, but people on the outside looking in, I think that Bateman for me is going to have, like, if you were to sit here and put everything and rate everything on a 10 scale for all of his traits, I think he's going to be like one of those players for me. It's like eights across the board.
So you think he's going to be a player that's good at everything, great, like elite at nothing.
Yes, that's what I look at when I see Bateman. And that is fantastic. That's still awesome for the NFL. We see players that are able to succeed and excel when you're freaking above average, if not really damn good at everything, but you're not weak at anything, but you're not elite at anything either. Like, that's like, and I'm throwing this in weaknesses, but like, I don't think that Bateman is a guy that's going to wow people, just the general public, when they watch about him, or like his name gets announced at draft night. He's one of the guys that I think is like some places, or we could see teams, like their fan bases are like, why'd you take him at 17 or whatever? And I'm like, where I'm sitting on my couch at home, and I'm like, yeah, baby, let's go. That's a good pick.
Yeah, I would be in that same boat. I love Rashad Bateman. Weaknesses, I'm interested to see what Thor says, because he's obviously watched more Bateman than both of us combined, probably. Yep, doesn't have the elite top-end speed. I think he also, like, there were some occasional drops for him, but I haven't watched, like, every target, so I'm sure there were some bad throws in there, like you guys mentioned. And there were some plays where, like, I'm pretty sure he got a couple, like, OPIs down the field, because he is a very physical player. Sometimes maybe plays a little bit too physical, but I don't even know if that's really a weakness. That's easily something you can say, all right, just, dial it back a little bit. But I'd rather have my receiver play too physical than not physical enough, too.
Yeah, the hands thing is interesting, because if you just strung together the top 10 catches of every receiver in this class, Bateman, I think, would easily have the best reel. Like, his circus catches are effing ludicrous. He has one-handed catches on the run, in stride, numerous ones, just absolutely stupid catches. Like, if you just talk about hands, he has vice grip hands. Just fabulous hands, but his drop rate is higher than it should be. It's not Hakeem Butler, but he drops more passes than he should, and it's a concentration thing.
I was going to ask, is it more concentration based?
Exactly. I mean, like,
say also ball placement. I put some of that on Morgan,
and that's fair, right? Because there's the thing of like Ozzie Smith used to lead major leagues in errors, and some people would think he was a bad fielder, but it's just that he could get to more balls, right? Like, so I do think that there's some of that too. We don't disagree on Tanner Morgan as a quarterback, but as far as that goes, like a player like Bateman needs to become more consistent in that area, because he's not he's not like a pop the top guy. Like, he's like a he's a move the chains always guy. He's the, like, for Minnesota fans, he's this is reductive, but he's less Randy Moss. He's more Chris Carter, right? Like, he's the guy who's moving it down the field, and he's the reliable guy, And so, like, you want him, you want that drop rate to come down, but it has nothing to do with his hands, because again, like, if you were just talking about, like, hands, it's just like, their own thing. You if you looked at the last five classes, again, I don't think you could find a circus catch reel like Rashad Bateman has. No one has one hand catches like he does. He has, like, I mean, like, he had one against South Dakota State that was effing stupid. He's got at least four of them. The one-handed catcher, one thing, and then he's got his other circus catches. But yeah, the concentration needs to improve. And then, you know, downfield, there's players, there's a thing of compensating for, you know, and this is a subliminal thing, but you compensate for, you know, not getting there on time. You compensate for, you know, in weaknesses and in that sort of parlance. But like, Rashad Bateman does not have Henry Ruggs or Jalen Waddle or, Jerry Jeudy deep speed. Right. And so, you know, what he does have is that physicality, but like, you know, when you're talking about tracking balls deep, and he can't use that, his sweet feet to gain separation anymore. There were certainly instances at Minnesota when in those contested situations where, he maybe got, a bit too physical downfield, you know, and that is something he's going to have to clean up as well, because he needs to learn to gain those sort of pockets of separation, like by having the, you know, the late hands, you know, like we were talking about before with right. Adams and Smith. He's got to learn how to, you know, with tricks like that, as opposed to, you know, when he's downfield and he perhaps hasn't created the requisite amount of separation because perhaps he doesn't run a 4-3, you know, trying to cheat by sort of bowling through a guy, you know, or something like that when he's going up for a ball. That's a teachable thing, because mm-hmm. he has these other skills that can create separation along the way. And he also, again, you know, in terms of his hands, you know, just as appendages, I feel like you could make the argument that they're just about as good as anyone's in the past couple of class, just by looking at the best catches. So he got to improve the concentration, and I would say more, just sort of the downfield technique when he's going to get sent there. But in the NFL, when you think about Rashad Bateman, I think he's going to be a killer more in the intermediate range. So like, you know, even as a nitpick, like, you know, it's something he needs to work on for sure, just in general. But like, you know, like in the intermediate area, he's already a killer. You know, like he already knows what to do.
And that's kind of what it leads me into comps for him. One, I think that he could go anywhere towards the end of the first round. I think that he's not going to make it out of the second round. That's going to happen. For me, when I watch Bateman, I see Adam Thielen. I see a guy that can win on the outside, win on the inside. As well as when down the field, when asked to, but really tear up the middle of the field. Really Adam Thielen and a more physically gifted Eric Decker is what jumped out to me. Your thoughts there? I mean, what do you think? I mean, are you with that? I've heard Keenan Allen's name get brought up a lot with him. Yeah. And I see it. I think that Bateman's a little more physical after the catch. I think there's obviously differences there, but who do you see when you watch Bateman, and where do you think he goes in the NFL draft?
I love that you not only made one cross racial reference to a local Minnesotan, but you made two. That was absolutely fabulous. Two tremendous pulls. So kudos on that. So I would say, like, you know, like, you know, we talked about like the bonanza of a ceiling, and that's, I think, is Michael Thomas. You know, that's been mentioned. I think that's just what it is, right? Like when you think about Bateman's high end traits and you think about their translation to the NFL and you think about the way that that would manifest and you think about, well, what if he got into the exact perfect situation? And you just think about, it's like, oh, well, it'd sort of be like in that Breeze offense, you know, it's Thomas, right? So I think that's like, you know, best case scenario. I agree with you. I've heard the Allen one a lot. I don't see that one as much again, because I don't see, I don't see Bateman as a, I just don't see him as a slot guy. I think that was a faux pas of PJ Fleck. And I don't think, you know, Bateman is limited athletically, sort of in that. I just think they have sort of different games. There are some similarities there, but,
Allen 60% slot, 40% outside. You look at Bateman, I think it's going to be 70-30 and 70% outside or 60% outside.
Well, yeah, 65. Like when you comp people to people, like you have a catalog of like, you know, 100 years of NFL, like, you know, you have to be a little bit more precise than that. It can't just be like he's sort of, you know, like that or whatever. So, you know, those couple guys, I'd say, the bonanza comp is definitely Thomas. Lower on, I like your and my buddy Izzy. I remember he comped him to Thielen. That was the first time I'd heard that comp, And that was interesting there. Cause I can see some of those similarities. I'm trying to think a lower end one, you know, cause like when you do the comps, you're always like, there's a propensity. I don't know if this is good or bad, but like to go like the high end, you know,
we like to give ranges here. We've talked about guys. I mentioned names that people like automatically want to hate on.
No, and
these guys got ranges, man. Like,
it's more intellectually fair because nobody knows what they're going to turn.
That's why I throw out Decker. Like Decker's the guy that if Bateman were to hit his floor and stuff like that, he's an 800 yard, 850 guy, catches about 5 to 6 touchdowns a year. He's solid and he's good as your wide receiver 2 on a team. Or a really, really damn good high-end wide receiver 3.
I mean, maybe a low end, you know, just to toss out another one, maybe a low end would be like another flat guy in Corey Davis.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
You know, and maybe it like, you know, the trajectory in terms of that, like it takes some, you know, just a little bit longer to acclimate, you know, maybe the, you know, he obviously didn't play as much in 2020 as some other guys because the way the season progressed, you know, with the opt-out and COVID stuff like that. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy who's been tossed up by some folks. You know, sort of that file, I guess.
Where do you think he goes in the draft, Thor? And Adam, I know you were on the Michael Thomas comp, correct?
I was on Michael Thomas. He reminded me a little bit of Allen Robinson too. Just the way like Robinson's like a 30% snap in the slot type of player than the rest on the outside. And Robinson's capable at times of winning, you know, 30 yards down the field, but he's kind of like Thor talked about, mostly in the intermediate range. His measurables are very similar to Allen Robinson. Robinson's about 10 pounds heavier, but I think they both run similar 40 times. They're both 6'2". He reminded me of Robinson, Michael Thomas. And then I didn't think about it. I just kind of talked about how their usage might be, but I do see the Adam Thielen comp as well. I'm in more agreement that it's more towards Michael Thomas and Allen Robinson than Keenan Allen, because like I mentioned, Bateman did a lot off slants at Minnesota as well. And we obviously know that's what Thomas does. Can Thomas win elsewhere? Yeah, but it's obviously what the Saints system has been the last couple of years.
Where do you think he goes in the NFL draft, Thor? Your mind's eye.
I would say,
can he sneak up into that late first?
That's what I bet on now. Yeah, he's definitely the kind of prospect that would have the propensity to get nitpicked to the point where he could fall out of the first round. If he does, though, he's going at the top of the second.
He's not making it out of the second.
Yeah, prospects that run routes that good, that were that good early on, and he was a 4-star recruit. Like, he didn't play with a great quarterback, like we're mentioning. He played with an NFL receiver and was better than him as an underclassman, like playing next to him. Like, Bateman's already proven it. So I just don't think he can.
I mean, Joe Rieger went, what, 21st last year?
Well, I love how you brought that up, because Rieger has some of the same, the quarterback stuff, a little bit wonky production in his last season that we saw him on a collegiate field. I love that you brought Rieger up, because Rieger, and this is what I want to mention about Bateman. Bateman's got to hit the athletic measurables. If he runs a mid 4.5, I think he's first round. If he runs a 4.6, like somebody like Eric Decker, I think he falls to the second round. I think that could be some of the testing stuff where NFL is able to like bump him up or shade him down a little bit.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, that's, you know, running a 4.6 or below would be the nightmare scenarios that his former teammate was.
I think it's possible he runs a high four, like. I think he's probably most likely a 4.5 guy.
Well, that's,
but I
wouldn't
be surprised if he does speed work and he gets into that 4.4 range and like he blows people's like ideas about what he is as a prospect away a little bit and he rises.
Well, again,
I think that he could be a big late riser, the closer that we get to the NFL draft.
I think he's, you know, again, I think he's a good athlete. I don't think he's a great athlete. But you know, could he surprise people with his athleticism? Yeah, because you know, that tends to be the big thing when people start nitpicking him. That's the thing that they talk about. But, you know, again, similar to Tyler Johnson, that's the way that they sort of led with that foot. But, you know, with Johnson, it was a thing that could outright nullify, you know, his NFL future is the way that was talked about. It's certainly the thing that nullified his opportunity to go to the Senior Bowl. But with Bateman, it's not the same thing. He's a good athlete.
All right, guys. I mean, look, we have spit the love letter on Rashad Bateman. It has been fantastic. This has been a ton of fun. Thor, thank you again for coming on to the show. Fantastic time having you again. We said everybody needs to be following you on Twitter at ThorKU. Tell the good people where they can find your work before we get up out of here.
NBC Sports Edge outside of Twitter. RotoWorld is now NBC Sports Edge. So come and find the scouting reports and the mock drafts and et cetera over there.
Yeah, they need to be tuning into the work, man. It is all awesome and super, super nuanced. So Adam and I are going to be back. We're going to be talking more NFL draft prospects walking up to the NFL draft. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.